the name of Jesus. First question this Reformation Sunday, number one, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Thank you. Awesome sauce. Great. Now, as we learned last week, there were those in Jesus' life, even his own family, his brother James even, who did not believe in him. Some of them came to believe in him later. Some of them may never believed. But let me ask you a second question. Are you ready? Would you continue to follow this Jesus to be his disciple? Well, that's great. Good. And now to you who believe in Jesus and who say you're going to be a disciple and remain a disciple, Jesus offers something to you. He gives something to you. He gives something to you to bolster faith in him and in him alone. Now, if somebody says they're going to give you something, you probably want to know what it is, right? So you believe in Jesus, you're his disciple, and you have a promise from him that he's going to give something to you. Are you ready? Do you want to know what this gift is? All that Jesus gives to you is his word. Jesus said in our gospel text for today, if you abide in my word, very good, you are truly my disciples. His word, only his word, and his word is never a nothing. Let there be light. The word spoke at creation, and there was light. The word, the spoken word, always does what it says. It gives what it promises. Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Everything created by the word. Everything as well, including the devil, the world, and your sinful nature, everything that stands contrary, constrained and controlled by the same spoken word. Do you remember Jesus, this guy who you claim to believe in and follow and supposedly are a disciple of? Do you remember when he was in the desert, starving? Do you remember when he overcame Satan's very religious temptations with the word, thricefold, it is written, it is written, it is written. Check it out in Matthew 4 if you don't remember. And so Luther penned, and we sang there in the third stanza of our hymn, one little word can fell him. One little word can fell Satan. And so now perhaps you Jesus believers, you disciples, can start to understand what the Reformation is all about and why we, especially as Lutherans, make such a big deal about it. About what it continues to be, what it continues to mean to be a disciple of Jesus, to abide in his word. Imagine showing up in church, as you are right now, and never hearing that your sins are forgiven. Imagine never hearing of what Jesus did and still does for you. Imagine now, for the first time in your life, hearing preachers from their pulpits categorically proclaiming that you are forgiven completely. And only because Jesus died for you. That his blood, his actual blood, purifies you from all your sin. Or, as the epistle puts it today, you are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, who is the sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. You see, 500 years ago, many called such preaching reckless, irresponsible, unfaithful, heretical. Some still do. You know what I mean. You've probably attended or been there as well, where the sermons and the service has nothing to do with Jesus. You never hear from Christ himself that your sins are actually forgiven. Jesus never even gets to the cross to die for you. Rather, it's all about what you must do. And oh, sometimes how you want it. Just tell me how to live. Just tell me how to be a disciple, because I can do it. If you give me these rules for holy living, then by gosh and by golly, I'll just strap on my boots, pull up my pants, and my life will be good. The Reformation. Jesus. Faith. Being his disciples is so different. You see, the sermons that were crafted by preachers sent to the church from the University of Wittenberg in the 16th century were all about the good news of what Christ has done. And it's what every message of the church should still be about today. Talk about finally hearing the truth. Talk about truly being set free. Matter of fact, at the time of the Lutheran Reformation in Saxony, Germany, here is what the pastor would say to the sinner in holy absolution. Would you like to hear it? It's amazing. Glaubst du auch, dass meine Vergebung Gottes Vergebung sei? You got that right in German? You all understand German? Maybe I should translate for you. The pastor would say, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? And the member, the penitent, would say, ja, lieber Herr, or yes, dear pastor. And the pastor would then simply speak this. Without any form of penance or work, he would simply speak the word, and I'll give it to you in English. You'd like that, wouldn't you? As you believe, the pastor would say, so may it be to you. And I, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. And that was it. That was it. Holy absolution. All based on the word, the mandate, the institution of our Lord Jesus in Matthew 16, Matthew 18, John 20. All for you, for the church, for the holy ministry to forgive sins. Now you might sit there and say, but what about my sorrow, dear pastor? What about my making amends for my sin, my penance? What about my contrition and amendment of life? To be fair, yes, these things are important, but not primary, nor do they instigate the work of your Lord for you. You see, they have nothing to do with actually forgiving you. These things, contrition and amendments of life, have nothing to do with what Jesus does for you. Are you forgiven because you're sorry? Because you promise to change the way you live? No! Absolutely not. You are forgiven only because of Jesus. And that's what faith in him is all about. That's what it means to be his disciple. You see, the absolution Christ's word does and precisely gives what it says. This is, as I've attempted to teach you and probably other pastors as well, the vivavox Christi, the very voice of Christ, the living voice of Christ, still active today in the absolution, in his word. You see, the Reformation 500 years ago exploded and grew because the word of the Lord was having its way. Jesus said, if you abide in my, you are truly my disciples. Now imagine as well going to church and never hearing the words of institution, the Lord's words for the sacrament of the altar. In the medieval mass, the priest turned his back to the congregation and whispered. Oh, yes. Whispered the Lord's words over the bread and wine in order to them in order to change them into the body and blood of Jesus. And this was done because of his indelible character given him in ordination, and why ordination in the Roman Church is still considered a sacrament, something you can have. Na, 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 na. But no one could hear the priest. Only when the bell rang, ding-a-ling-a-ling, and the priest elevated now the host or the cup, did you, the people in the pew, actually know that the body and blood of Jesus was there. And if that wasn't the first of the problems, then it continued. Because you see, this body and blood of Jesus that was now there would be offered up to God the Father as an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the living and the dead in purgatory. To repeat, in the medieval Mass, you did not hear the words of the Lord. But with the Lutheran Reformation, that all changed. Instead of the pastor whispering the words at the altar, and you just hearing the bell, ding-a-ling-a-ling, and seeing the elevation, the pastor now faced the congregation with the bread and the wine in his hands as he belted out, even sang, Christ's words loudly and clearly for the entire congregation to hear and believe. Listen to these words in just a little while. Hear them. They are for you. Again, the Vivavox Christi, the living voice of Christ here in time, in this place. And again, with it, this word, your sins are forgiven. He says so. Consequently, the body and blood of Jesus, as a result of the Reformation, were no longer offered to the Father as an atoning sacrifice for the living and dead. Instead, the body and blood are bestowed by Jesus as his gift to you. His gift to you sinners, just as he instituted the sacrament. And the Reformation blossomed. And the Christian people of Germany and all over Europe knew that the Lord's Supper is the gospel. You see, since the sacrament is the gospel, a disciple of Jesus cannot be without it. Jesus said, if you abide in my... Oh, please. Jesus said, if you abide in my... You are truly my disciples. So are you still willing to be his disciple? Does his preaching offend you? Does hearing Jesus forgive you through your pastor annoy you? Do you tire of listening to Jesus as his word is sung, read, or even chanted to you? Perhaps as his gospel word processes out from the chancel proper into the very nave, the hold of the boat, of the ark, where you sit, that you may hear without a doubt his word? Do you not desire or appreciate the sacrament which is offered to you every Lord's Day? Do you find yourself looking at your watch, thinking of other places you need to be and things you need to do? Are you picking up rocks to throw at Jesus' head? Do false divinities hinder you from following him anymore? What other words are there that captivate you, enslave you, and bind you? You see, the word of false idols, false gods, is very tempting. And there the battle rages. The battle that we sang of, that Luther writes of. The battle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this world, of darkness itself. And there is one idol in particular. One idol that you and I battle, let's call it materialism, pleasure, and play. Oh, there's three of them. Let's call that the American Trinitarian God. And this idol speaks to you, beckons to you, commands to you, sings to you like a siren, you shall have no other gods but me. And tragically, many hearts, and yours and mine at times, cling to this God, to materialism, to pleasure, to play. But This idol, this false god, she shows no mercy to you or to me. She is totally merciless, ruthless. In addition, she gives no Sabbath day rest. Seriously. One of the primary things this god attacks is that Sabbath rest. That you will find things more important to you than coming to hear the words of your Lord. Read, proclaimed, and given. And as such, this god, materialism, pleasure, and play, has slaves, bound and captive slaves, to the sin of her idolatry, for she will not allow her slaves to hear someone else's word. And whose word would that be? You know, for you believe in him. You claim to be a disciple. They are the words of Christ. After all, an idol is anything that competes with or seeks to keep you from Christ's word as a believer, as a disciple. Thus Jesus says, if you abide in my, you are truly my disciples. But guess what? Jesus, the Christ, the one true God, speaks anyway. He will be heard. He will be heard to break and crush all idols, to save slaves like you from the hellacious consequences of your wicked idolatry, to bring slaves to repentance and faith. All of this for you. You see, Jesus, through his word, would turn you away from your sin and rather turn you to himself and to himself only. You and I are not immune to the wiles and temptations of materialism and pleasure and play, but as such, God combats your idol and mine in the same way that Jesus defeated the devil in the desert. He speaks his word. The one true God speaks to you today. The God-man himself in the flesh, with all of his Calvary wounds showing, and pouring there from those gaping bloody wounds all of his saving benefits into your ears, into your mouth, into your very heart. And so, you who claim to believe and to continue as disciples, will you listen? Will you eat and drink? Will you give yourself to hear all that Jesus has to give? After all, faith comes by hearing, hearing Christ's word. Faith in Jesus that saves you comes simply by hearing his word. Will you this Reformation make attending the divine service where his word is read and given, will you make it a priority in your life, or will you, like so many that we have dreadfully witnessed over the years, fall away from following Jesus and become slaves to false gods that promise so much but only deliver hellacious results? Jesus said, if you continue in my, you are truly my disciples. And my word, Jesus says, will set you free from the slavery of sin's idolatry. Jesus' word to you is this: I died for you. I rose for you. I am God for you. And I am God for you the most when I took all your sin in my body and answered for all of it. And as such, all of your sin, smile, is forgiven. Salvation is yours, free and clear. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Eat this bread, drink this wine. All of this is for you. I give you my body and blood, your Lord says. Here I am God for you, and you are forgiven. Death and hell are defeated. The resurrection of the body, just as I went through, and the life everlasting are yours. Jesus, this one whom you believe in and who you follow as a disciple, makes these promises to you. I am your Savior, he says. And Jesus said, if you continue in my, you are truly my disciples. So you believe in him, you are set free to be his disciples. Happy Reformation Day. In the name of Jesus.